Our scripture reading this evening is in Luke chapter 2. If you would please take your Bible and stand for the reading of God's Word, Luke chapter 2. Some of you just sat down, sorry about that. Luke 2, 8 through 14. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Okay, right off the bat, you had a chance to meet some people tonight. I want you to think in your mind. I'm not going to ask you to answer out loud, but which person in this room most looks like an angel to you? Now, I want you to think about that, okay? For some of you guys, you might have a gorgeous girl on your mind. You think, "Oh my goodness, that is an angel right there." Some of you might be thinking, "Oh, that little child. Oh, they're just so angelic. That cute little face and those big brown eyes," or whatever you might be thinking. I want you to know that the angel of the Bible is not a cutesy little humble-looking creature. You need to look around this room and find the biggest, baddest-looking person here, because the angels were powerful, scary creatures. In fact, whenever an angel appeared to somebody, some of the first words they had to say to that person were the words, "Fear not," because they scared them. Their presence scared them. Tonight, I want to set a proposition before you and then seek to explain it from the text. First of all, angels are worshiping messengers, warriors who are humble, yet powerfully obeying God's command. Angels are worshiping messengers. Each year, our family decides a particular aspect of Christmas upon which we're going to focus. This year, we've decided to focus on angels. And we have made angel cookies. I use the word "we" a little loosely there. We have purchased angel ornaments for our tree. We have purchased big angels for our front yard, and they have trumpets, and they're lit with lights. And if you drive by our house, you'll see they're ominous, these two big, powerful, bright angels. And we have taken some time, and we'll take some time as we go through the Christmas story this week, to think about angels. And so in the process of doing this for the past month or so, I thought I would share with you some of the things I've learned about angels and encourage you as you think about Christmas. Angels are indeed messengers. They have an urgent message. Have you ever sent an urgent message? Have you ever longed for the message to get through? I was out of cell range a few days ago, and I so desperately wanted to get a text message through. And as soon as I would get one little bar on my phone, I would try to send the message, and I would hit it, and it would go almost through to sending, and then at the end it would shut down, and it would say no signal. It was very frustrating for me, because it was a critical message that I wanted to get out. God had a critical message he wanted to get to his people. And so he sent an angel in order to give them this message. Now, I want you to look in your scriptures at Luke chapter 1. You're going to see a few spots in here where angels appear. We have a particular angel, and his name is Gabriel. And Gabriel comes in order to give information. If you look at verse 12, "And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, for fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him," and here are those words, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son." Many of you know this story. You know this portion of the story. This is an angel coming to Zechariah to let him know that he's going to have a son. His name is going to be John. As it turns out, this is going to be John the Baptist. And then look at verse 18. Zechariah was doubting. And he said, "And Zechariah said to the angel, 'How shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years.'" In other words, he's doubting the message of the angel. He's saying, you know, you say that we're going to have a child. We're old. I'm old. My wife is old. I mean, in other words, he's saying, I think we're too old to have kids here. I'm willing to give it a try, but we're too old to have children, the best I could tell. Now listen to what happens. Verse 19, "And the angel said to him, 'I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God.'" Listen to that. He's an angel who stands in the presence of God. And that supports my second premise, and that is that angels are worshipers. Angels are worshipers who are messengers. "He stands in the presence of God, and I was sent." I was sent means I am under the authority of God when I speak to you. "And I bring this good news. And behold," and this is where he just smacks him in the face, "and behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place." Why? "Because you did not believe my words, which will be filled with their time." You don't see a cute little girl with long flowing hair and a harp under her arm and two cute little wings. You have this powerful, demanding, commanding, authoritative being. It's an angel. It's the angel Gabriel. He's sent by God. And it's the very same angel, I believe, who comes and appears to these shepherds in Luke chapter 2. I want you to know that just because we cannot see angels, it doesn't mean they don't exist. God created the angels in the 6 days of creation. Listen to this from Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them." And all the hosts of them. All the hosts of angels. And then Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. "For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him." Just because we cannot see angels, it doesn't mean that they do not exist. The Bible speaks of angels throughout. In fact, I heard a story, and I told this story one time here in the Sunday evening service a year or so ago. A friend of mine met a missionary, and this missionary was a missionary to Africa. And while he and his wife were in Africa, they had a little house in the jungle they lived in as they were trying to reach a particular tribe, a warring tribe, a very scary tribe, known to be cannibals. And so this man and his wife are in their house, and one evening they looked out and they noticed their house was surrounded by warriors. That these warriors, African warriors, had surrounded their home, and they knew that they were going to be killed and eaten that night. And so they fell on their knees and they prayed. And one of their prayers was that God would surround their home with angels and that he would protect them. And surely they made it through the evening. Later, that missionary at a conference met the chief of that tribe, who was there that night leading his warriors. And this chief had become a believer in Christ. And so the missionary said, I just have to ask you, do you remember that night when you surrounded our house? And the chief said, oh, yes, we were going to kill you and eat you the next day. And he said, why didn't you? And the chief looked at him incredulously and said, how could we? How could we break through those big, glowing warriors who were surrounding your house? And the missionary said, what? And the chief said, your home was surrounded by men who stood higher than the roof. And they glowed, and they had swords. We were afraid of them. We were not about to attack your home. Does that mean that when you pray that God would surround you with his angels, that he indeed does? I believe so. I believe so. Just because you cannot see the angel doesn't mean that they're not there. In fact, in 2 Kings chapter 6, we hear a little story about Elijah. It says, beginning in verse 15, when the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army of horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? And he said, don't be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elijah prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of this young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. It's not that they don't exist. It's that we cannot see them. It's not normal for us to be able to see the angels, but it doesn't mean they don't exist. Nearly every morning, I pray that God would surround our family with his angels and that he would protect them. And I believe he does. And I believe those angels do surround them and that he does protect them. Many times we would have to say to ourselves, we have not because we ask not. So I would ask you to pray for your family and your loved ones that the Lord would surround them with his angels. Not that that would inhibit their ability to serve the Lord or that they would be constantly in safety, but they would have the angels with them as they serve the Lord courageously. Not that they would retreat and hide behind the angels, but they would go forward with the angels. If the angels are worshiping messengers, what are we? Aren't we worshiping messengers? Aren't we like the angels? Are we worshipers? Are we messengers? Yes. Yes, we are. I wanted you to hear this passage from Isaiah chapter 37. Another example of this powerful angels. Hezekiah is in a difficult situation. He's asking for help against the Assyrians. It says, by the way he came, by the same way he shall return, and he shall not come into this city, declares the Lord. In other words, the king of Assyria will not enter this city. By the way he came from the northeast. You know what? I'm going to turn around and send him back. Just like when I moved to Charlotte, North Carolina, and I met a guy, my neighbor. And the very first thing he said to me, are you a Yankee or a damn Yankee? Because I was moving down from the north. And I said, I don't know, what's the difference? And he goes, a damn Yankee stays. Said, welcome to the neighborhood. Basically, they sent this Yankee back to the northeast in Assyria, verse 35. For I will defend this city to save it. Did you hear that? For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. And the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. The angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when the people arose early in the morning, behold, these were all dead bodies. Can you imagine being surrounded by 185,000 dead bodies? Then Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and returned home and lived at Nineveh. Angels do exist, and they exist for the purposes of God. They are indeed worshipers. So many times people say, how many angels are there? Like, do you think there's an angel for every person? Does every person, or at least every Christian, have a guardian angel? I don't know the exact answer to that, but I do know that there are so many angels that they're innumerable to the human eye. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 21, indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you've come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God and the heavenly Jerusalem and to innumerable angels in festal gathering. They couldn't even count all the angels. And then in Revelation chapter 5, verse 11, then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voices of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. Listen to what they were saying with a loud voice. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Thousands upon 10,000s. That is the Greek way of saying in Revelation. It's thousands times thousands. I don't know. What's the largest crowd you've ever been in? Maybe you've been to a football game and they had 40,000, 50,000, 60,000. I was in a soccer arena in Mexico City, 125,000 seats, which probably meant about 150,000 people. It was packed. 150,000 people. The angel of the Lord slew 185,000 people in one night. How many angels are there? How many angels? Thousands times tens of thousands. Angels created by God right now at this very moment. Heaven is filled with angels. And somewhere around the throne, now get your mind around this. Somewhere around a real physical throne. For Jesus was resurrected with a real body. It's not the same body we have. It's a heavenly body, a spiritual body. But it's a real body. The second person of the Trinity who existed in eternity past as an invisible spirit, if you will, became a child and lived life here on earth. A sinless life. He was killed, crucified. The child the angels announced, we crucified. And then he rose from the dead and he ascended into heaven and he reigns and rules right now in his spiritual body. And somewhere in existence is the spiritual body of Jesus Christ. Surrounded by thousands times tens of thousands of angels, all worshiping him. Tonight, Paul said, sing at the top of your lungs. Can you imagine? Tens of thousands of these giant, powerful, majestic, glowing beings surrounding the throne of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you want to join your voice with theirs? Don't you want Michael to lean over and to elbow Gabriel and say, do you hear that? I think it's coming from Dallas. Do you hear their voices? Listen to their voices. Wait, quiet a moment. Let's let them sing. Let's listen to them. And then we'll echo their chorus. We'll sing antiphonally. Join your voice with the voices of the angel. If you're a worshiper, you'll know. You'll know what I'm talking about. Your heart wells with the beauty of the work of Christ. Your heart has the sense of your unworthiness and His worthiness, of our sin and His righteousness. And the disparity between the two drive us to this constant struggle in a conflict of life. The darkness of our world overwhelms us sometimes. But we know as a worshiper, we have the light of Christ within us. As I said in class this morning, the light of Christ is greater than the darkness which surrounds us. It doesn't always feel that way, does it? Sometimes it feels like the doom and the gloom of our world is greater than the light of Christ. I want you to know that that's not a correct perception. For you see, if these angels who were created to be in God's presence, who are light in and of themselves, bright, glowing, brilliant creatures, strong, powerful, militant. Do you know what they do when they're in the presence of God? The seraphim, we know from Isaiah chapter 6, at least the seraphim with their three sets of wings have to cover their eyes with one set of their wings because they're beholding the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine the magnificence of being a shepherd on a hillside tending their flock by night? And then not only one angel, but it says a multitude of the heavenly host. A multitude. It's the way the author is saying. Almost innumerable. I don't know how many. I was in West Texas a couple nights ago, and at about 11 o'clock, I stood out and I looked up, and it was just magnificent, the stars. I couldn't count them. Recently, my wife and I took a little trip to get away for a break, and we were on an island, and at night, we would look up and see the stars, and it was truly amazing. But imagine seeing those stars, but instead of seeing that number of stars, seeing a group, a choir, if you will, of angels lined up in a military formation, singing glory to God. You think your life would be the same? Would never be the same. Because you have seen now what other people cannot see. I ask you, do you see with spiritual eyes? A few years ago, I went to a Texas A&M football game. Back when they occasionally won a game. It was pretty exciting. And at halftime, I'm sorry, I know there's some A&M folks here that had to hurt a little bit. At halftime, they had a remarkable presentation. These folks came down in uniforms, and they were sleek and strong and organized, and they played their instruments in unison, and I got chills. It was remarkable. It was a beautiful picture of execution, of unison, of being organized, of strength under control. And I want you to know that whenever you think of an angel, I want you to think of strength and power under control. Do you remember when Jesus was in the garden? Do you remember what he said to his attackers? He said, if I wanted to, I could call down the angels from heaven. What's the implication? They will wipe you off the face of the earth. is the implication. It's the way I felt as a little boy who had a big brother. A big brother who was a very good fighter and really enjoyed fighting. No one bothered me. Not only because of my own strength and agility, but because they knew that if they bothered me, that they had to deal with Pat. And that Pat would finish the job. I want you to know that we have angels who are worshiping messengers, and they're warriors. And they're on God's side. Are you on God's side? Because if you're on God's side, they're on your side. Fear not. Fear not. Don't fear the economy. Don't fear death. Don't fear prejudice. Fear not, for you are a worshiper and you are a messenger. You are indeed the light of the world as you reflect the light of Jesus Christ in a dark and perverse generation. May God bless you and may his angels surround you all the days of your life, until you join them in heaven as a member of the heavenly choir. Let's pray together.